Welcome to the Food Freedom Habit Podcast, where you can find freedom from food crazies using nothing but your own brain. With me, Lydia, the Lifestyle Coach. Would you like permanent food and body peace without tracking one trigger or calorie? Whether you're dealing with overeating, binge eating, bulimia, food obsession, body hate, or the endless diet cycle? We do all this without delving into past trauma, starting yet another food plan, or monitoring every meal. Live a free life aligned with your health and values. If you're ready for something real, you're in the right place. All episodes are 100% free, so please subscribe to and review our podcast.
Hi, guys. This is Lydia, the Lifestyle Coach, and we are ending eating disorders. Ending eating disorders, that means binge eating, bulimia, overeating, yo-yo dieting, food obsession, body hate, all of that. We are ending eating disorders. And I'm coming on here today because we just got back from the most incredible event. We hosted a live event where we had women fly in from all over the world that we have coached, that we have freed from 25, 45 years of an eating disorder, and we got to celebrate freedom together. And what I realized is that I have not been open with you guys. I have not been open with you guys about really how we're ending eating disorders. And as we were talking about this at the event, I wanted to just be open. I wanted to be right here, out in the world, and to express exactly how this is going to happen. Because what I realize some of you might think is that we end eating disorders on an individual level, which we do. And that's done. Like, that has been done hundreds and hundreds of times. You know, women, whether they've struggled with this for 65 years, literally 65 years, or whether they've struggled with this for 6 months, were able to completely end their eating disorder, not to manage their eating disorder, not to put a Band-Aid on their eating disorder, not to show people how to stop the behavior of an eating disorder, but all the food obsession is still there. We're talking about not having an eating disorder anymore. We're talking about being a normal eater. That is exactly what is happening. And yes, we do that on an individual level, but I want you guys to understand that when we talk about ending eating disorders, we're talking about worldwide. We're talking about living in a world where eating disorders is an old-fashioned thing that used to happen. Things that we have vaccinations for now, you know, polio, people don't get scurvy in first world countries anymore. Like, these are things that happened in the past, and eating disorders are going to be the exact same way. And what we have is a really clear plan of exactly how we're going to do that in the next 10 years. And so I'm just going to be super open with you guys about how that's going to happen, so you guys can know what you're part of, so you guys can know exactly what we're doing and where we're going with this. So there's something very unique that happens when somebody doesn't have an eating disorder anymore, because their identity and their life has been so wrapped up around it, right? It's like, it's all of your mental energy. You're planning every day for it. You are thinking about it all the time. You wake up every morning, that's your first thought. When you go to bed at night, you're beating yourself up about, you know, falling off the wagon again. And what happens is you get so defined by it for so long that once you don't have an eating disorder anymore, it's so funny because a lot of people have the fear of like, oh no, who will I be without my eating disorder? And everyone gets so wonderfully and pleasantly surprised that they get to be them. That it's not hard to not have an eating disorder. It's not some crisis of identity. It's this incredibly powerful feeling of, what else can I do? It's being able to show up and be yourself. It's being able to show up in your own life as yourself and decide who you get to be. And it was incredible to see women from all over the world as we were, you know, there together and up talking and laughing until 2 a.m. and really getting to know each other as people and being able to eat meals all together and being able to just enjoy each other's company and just have normal eating where the food wasn't a big deal, where we were all just able to be together with the shared experience of having gained freedom and for people to really find their tribe. It was an absolutely incredible experience. And in that, we're seeing the ripple effect of what truly happens is that, you know, we have women who are leaders of a lot of other people, very powerful women, get eating disorders. Very capable and successful women get eating disorders. So when they don't have an eating disorder anymore, they're influencing people in a whole new way. So one woman where she has influence of about 500 people right now in her life. And now she's able to just lead those people in a whole different way because she understands her brain and their brains and, you know, this the social aspects of this and how people work so much better. You know, we have women, multiple women who are in the military, and, you know, they're able to, with all of their expertise and everything that they've done in their lives, you know, show up in a whole new, you know, powerful way with the people that they influence. You know, women who care for animals, who care for elderly parents, who have influence over children, who have influence over schools. I mean, we have seen these women step into their lives and show up so powerfully. Because they can, because this is exactly what happens to women when they don't have an internal struggle that never ends. When they get that internal space opened up, then they can step into their lives in the way that they decide. And they make amazing decisions because that's who they were all along. And they get to get back in touch with that. And this is a huge problem in the world, is that we have so many incredible women that would be showing up and changing the world and leading their countries and their families and their workplaces and their congregations. And they can't do that because 80% of their mental energy is taken up by food. And they can't do that because they're waiting to do all these wonderful world-changing plans as soon as they lose the weight. And they can't do that because they're waiting until they are done with their own eating disorders because there's this imposter syndrome. How could I help anybody else until I help myself? And when you're able to remove that eating disorder, incredible, incredible things happen. And until that happens, the world is starved of the power of women. The world is starved of the very minds that the answers that the world needs would come from. And when you get food and food obsession and body obsession out of your brain, you get to do the things that matter to save the world and you get to expand. And that's exactly what these women are asking is, wow, if I can overcome that after 25 years of trying everything and nothing working, and now in a handful of weeks I can be done, what else can I do? And that's the power that we're seeing. And there's this unique opportunity to, with an incredible understanding, build your life the way that you want it once you're done with your eating disorder. And it is a massive problem. So 1 in 4 women report that they have an eating disorder, and that on its own may seem like a lot. But here's what we know. We've helped hundreds and hundreds of people be free. And the percentage of people who reported to someone that they had an eating disorder was very slim. What we hear all the time is, you know what, I've had an eating disorder for, you know, 40 years, and nobody knows, not even my husband that I've been married to that entire time. We've had people that have said, you know what, like, I didn't know I had an eating disorder. I myself was in this camp, you guys. I didn't say eating disorder to anyone for years because I didn't think I had an eating disorder. I was just bad at dieting all of a sudden. I just had no willpower. I was just a food addict. I just kept falling off the wagon for years. And then you find out, wow, I have an eating disorder. A lot of people aren't even labeling this because we live in a society that rewards that, where people can just sit around and talk about their eating disorders, but under the language of like, oh my gosh, I just can't stick to my diet. Oh gosh, I'm so sorry, you guys. I know I've gained the weight back. You know, let's bring up our bodies before somebody else does. Let's apologize for the 50 pounds that we keep gaining and losing. And we don't call it an eating disorder. We just call it us being broken. We just call it something being wrong with us. So if 1 in 4 are reporting that they have an eating disorder, imagine how many people aren't reporting and didn't even realize that they have an eating disorder. This is a massive problem that is easily impacting more than 50% of women in first world countries. And it is a first world problem. It is a problem of abundance. And so when you look at that, it's, even if we're saying conservatively 1 in 3, in first world countries, that's over 1.1 billion women. And then if you just take a third of that, right? Like if you're just breaking it down with, you know, how many people are, you know, conservatively struggling with that. I mean, this is over 500 million women all over the world, and men are struggling with this as well. But it's definitely a problem that is targeted at women, and we'll talk about that. The other problem is that all of our old-fashioned traditional methods to fix an eating disorder, or rather to manage an eating disorder, because the idea is you're broken, this is the way that you're going to be for the rest of your life, let's just try to manage it, actually make it worse. People go to treatment, they go and they talk to their therapist, and their therapist say, oh, it's not about the food, it's about your past trauma. So now somebody has an issue of having to rehash their entire life, their trauma, and maybe my eating will magically get better once I go through all of this. We've had women come to us that said, I've been doing 25 years of therapy, and I just went to try to fix my problem with food. And now I've gained 100 pounds. My eating disorder is worse than ever. But yeah, I worked out all of my trauma. Awesome. And that is awesome. But it never fixed their eating disorder. It actually made it worse because they felt more powerless. They felt like, well, until I go back and I rehash and I work through all of my trauma and all of the hard things that ever happened to me, I can't hope to get better. And they just put themselves on a 25-year delay to even realize that that was never going to work. Then with the same poison that gives us eating disorders, which is restrictive dieting, people are drinking the same poison that made them sick and calling it medicine and going back to a restrictive diet. Then people are going, because it's covered sometimes by insurance, people go and they cut themselves open and they go and they let a doctor put them under anesthesia and they are amputating pieces of their organs saying, my eating is so bad. I'm so broken. I'm so out of control. Let's rearrange my insides permanently. And then they come to realize that that never fixed their mind and it never fixed their habits. And now they have horrible physical problems because they've lost 100 pounds after surgery and then gained it all back so quickly, and they're binging on top of their rearranged insides. We've had women spend $20,000, $40,000 in follow-up surgeries just because they are messing up their bodies after their surgery, because there's no way that they can stay within the limitations that they're supposed to eat with their shrunken down stomach and their shrunken down intestines, because they didn't fix the habit. And the shame that we experience when we do something so extreme like surgery, and then a year later, we're in a worse situation and the highest weight and the worst health that we ever have been in our lives. And then people, they go and they spend $30,000 a month and they, you know, have somebody else take care of their children, and they have to quit their jobs or take a leave of absence and have on their permanent records that they're going to go to some, you know, outpatient or inpatient center where they're just told that they're broken, where they're told that they should expect to come back there every year, where they're told that, oh, it's not just the eating, it's really a flaw with you, it's really your brokenness. Women reaching out and asking for help of how do I end this, and what they get is tips. They get tips on how to be more restrictive. They get tips on how to throw up in a public restroom without people hearing you. They get tips on what to do so that your teeth don't fall out as quickly when you have an eating disorder. And we have women uplifting others into an eating disorder because we live in a world where that is acceptable. And what we need is change. And we know exactly how to do that. And we're doing it right now. And by the year 2030, we are going to end eating disorders. And I want to be really open with you guys of exactly how we're going to do that. This takes social change. Think of what we've been able to change in just a generation. You know, people wearing seatbelts, that didn't used to be a thing. In just a couple of generations, it is the absolute norm to wear a seatbelt when you get in a car. You can't get out of a parking lot and just like have your kid floating around in the back seat without people stopping your car and being like, whoa, whoa, what are you doing? Without your child saying, what are you doing? Put the seatbelt on me. I need to be safe. That was in just a couple of generations where that became the norm. We have so many diseases that and sicknesses that we have vaccines for that we don't worry about anymore. Nobody goes to a shopping center and worries that they're going to catch leprosy anymore. It's just not a thing that we're worried about because we have the things in place for that to be something that's obliterated from the issues that we're dealing with in first world countries. Think of how common smoking used to be. That used to be something that you could do anywhere, anytime, and was totally acceptable, and people just smoked all day long. People still smoke, but everyone knows that stuff kills you. And that is exactly how eating disorders are going to be. There might still be some people who are doing eating disorder behavior, but everyone knows where that comes from. It's just a habit that's easy to break. What we're going to do is we're going to live in a world where there isn't the shame around it, where people aren't calling it a disease, where people aren't wondering what your past trauma was that caused it. When people are able to just speak out, just like somebody's like, hey guys, I know I've been a smoker, but you know, I'm quitting smoking right now. People can just, without shame, be like, hey guys, I'm breaking my habit of an eating disorder. I know I've had an eating disorder for a while, but I know that stuff kills you. So, you know, I'm breaking it right now. I know exactly how, because I know how to end the habit. And we're going to take the shame out of it. And the world we are going to live in is where the number one cause of eating disorders is restrictive dieting. And so restrictive dieting isn't going to be something that is a go-to. It's never worked, you guys. It's never, ever worked. And people are smart and people are intelligent and people have access to the internet where they can be able to find answers even if nobody around them is speaking the truth. People can search and find. And that is exactly why people come to us from all over the planet, because they're looking for an answer, because something inside them lets them know that they're not broken forever, that they don't have some disease of an eating disorder, that they aren't inherently flawed in an unfixable way, that they don't have something terminal they're going to deal with, that there has to be a way to just stop this craziness with food. And that's why they find us. That's why they find Life with Lydia. That's why you guys become part of this community, because when you hear us, it resonates with you of, yeah, there must be a way to be done. And then we have an army of hundreds and hundreds of women who've done that and who are now free of their eating disorders, that have done everything over 40 years. And in 4 weeks, they were able to be completely done with our help, because you just break the habit and you change your brain and you're done. And it's not a struggle anymore when your desires change and when you don't want to go back into those behaviors anymore. So restrictive dieting is the number one cause of eating disorders. And we're going to live in a world where there will probably still be some people that do it. But when a mother sits down at dinner and has a completely different dinner than the rest of her family because she's on a restrictive diet, her kids are saying, come on, mom, you know that stuff kills you. You know dieting gives you eating disorders. Come on, what are you doing? Because the next generation is going to know, is going to know the truth. And that's exactly what we're doing here. So this is how we end eating disorders in the next 10 years. What happens is the reason that people have eating disorders, the number one reason is restrictive dieting. But then we've got to go more upstream. We've got to ask, so why? Why do we all feel a compulsion to diet restrictively? Why, as women, would we rather die than be fat? Why, as women, would we do life-threatening behaviors to lose the last 5 pounds? Why, as women, do we do feel bad about going outside and feel like our bodies are an apology because they're not thin? Why, as women, when we look around and we see the value of ourselves, is it based off of our thinness? Why do we live in a world where if you line up the last 50 popular movies that were out, there are no women that have any sort of variance of size? There is one size and it's very thin. And if there is somebody that looks like somebody who is a larger size, who's a larger woman, she's a joke. She's a terror. She's the thing that the male that is lifted up in that movie is so scared of even getting close to, because what a joke. A large woman, a woman who isn't thin. What value is there in that? It's not okay. And we've lived in that world long enough, and it's time for those things to change. And we have to start asking the questions of why exactly would we rather be hit by a truck than gain 20 pounds? What is it about our world that makes us feel that way? And those are the questions that we're answering. Those are the ways that we are empowering women. There are two things that are going to get us there to end eating disorders. The first one is we are going to exponentially cut this in half over and over so it disappears very quickly. Restrictive dieting leads to eating disorders. And who exactly puts us on our first restrictive diet? For so many of the women that we coach, it was their mothers. Their mothers put them on their first restrictive diet. Their mothers took them to their first Weight Watchers meeting when they were 8 years old. My daughter is 9. She is a child. And as soon as we see our daughters have any sort of curves, as soon as we see them become women, as soon as we see them as any different than the supermodels that we hold up that have the bodies of an 11-year-old because they actually might be 11-year-olds that you're seeing and sexualizing in the magazines and on ads and in movies, we get terrified because the last thing that we want our daughters to be is fat. Because as a woman, don't you want some worth? So you better be thin. The first thing that causes eating disorders is the examples of our mothers. And when we have a generation of empowered mothers, when we have a generation of mothers who aren't trying to navigate their own eating disorders themselves, we have a generation of mothers who are empowered, who don't just say, oh, honey, you should love your body, but then they're secretly loathing theirs. Who don't say, hey, daughters, you should just eat healthy, eat what you want, but then they're not even eating dinner with their family because they're off trying to eat something else to try to manipulate their body into being thinner. We cut this problem in half because we're not passing it on to our children. That's the first thing. The second thing is that Life with Lydia and our cause, we're going to go more and more upstream. Eating disorders are a side effect of restrictive dieting, and restrictive dieting is a side effect of the oppression of women and showing us that our worth and living in a world where our worth is based on our thinness. And when we go upstream, there is enough leverage to obliterate eating disorders from the planet. And that takes an army of strong women stepping up and showing up, and first of all, ending their own eating disorders, being a witness of freedom. And there is a ripple effect that happens. At our retreat, we talked about, there's an amazing woman on our team. And she said, you know what? Like, she has a little sister that's a lot younger than her. And now she knows that her worth isn't based on her size. And she knows that you can be healthy no matter what size you're at. And she knows how important it is to feed and take care of yourself. And when her little sister, who's about 10, came to her and said, hey, I'm getting fat. Will you give me some tips on how to lose weight? She didn't give her tips on how to lose weight. She told her the truth. And that little girl's life, her sister's life, is going to be changed. And because her sister's life is changed, everyone who interacts with her sister and all the women that look up to her as she gets older are changed. We have an amazing woman who was at this retreat, who is a principal of a school, and she has influence over all of these incredible young women and men. And now she can be a symbol of freedom, where she's not sneaking away and her weight isn't yo-yoing up and down, and she isn't feeling all of this shame, and she isn't getting sicker and sicker and more tired because she's trying so hard to deal with this obsession every day about food. Now she can show up. Think of the ripple effect with the 5,500 little people that she is exposed to. There is a ripple effect that is going to happen, that is going to sweep the nation and is going to sweep the world, so that we can end eating disorders. And it will be a thing of the past. Just like we used to say, oh, hysteria is just a woman's womb traveling to her arm. That uniquely female part is probably the cause of all of the problems. Now we look at that and we say, that's ridiculous. That's sexist. And we're going to look at eating disorders in the same way. Wow, that was ridiculous. That was sexist. That was oppressive. I can't believe that women dealt with that for so long. I'm so glad that we live in a world where we have equality and freedom, and that women are valued the way that men are valued, for who they are, and not the size of their bodies, and not the shape of their thighs, not how sexual they can be, but for the person that they are, the way that they change the world, the contribution that they give to the world. And thank you guys so much for being on today. And if you want to be part of that cause, if you want to be a witness of freedom to the world, just internally with who you are, or in more of a public way, the first step is to end this for yourself, is to fix this eating disorder, is to taste what it's like to have your own freedom. And that's exactly what you're doing. And if you want to be a part of that, the first place to start is to book a free session. We have an incredible team that is here specially trained to get you the breakthroughs that you need to start the momentum of freedom in your life. You can go to Hi guys, this is Lydia, the lifestyle coach, and we are ending eating disorders. Ending eating disorders, that means binge eating, bulimia, overeating, yo-yo dieting, food obsession, body hate, all of that. We are ending eating disorders, and I'm coming on here today because we just got back from the most incredible event. We hosted a live event where we had women fly in from all over the world that we have coached, that we have freed from 25, 45 years of an eating disorder, and we got to celebrate freedom together. And what I realized is that I have not been open with you guys. I have not been open with you guys about really how we're ending eating disorders. And as we were talking about this at the event, I wanted to just be open. I wanted to be right here out in the world and to express exactly how this is going to happen. Because what I realize some of you might think is that we end eating disorders on an individual level, which we do. And that's done. Like that has been done hundreds and hundreds of times. You know, women, whether they've struggled with this for 65 years, literally 65 years, or whether they've struggled with this for 6 months, were able to completely end their eating disorder, not to manage their eating disorder, not to put a Band-Aid on their eating disorder, not to show people how to stop the behavior of an eating disorder, but all the food obsession is still there. We're talking about not having an eating disorder anymore. We're talking about being a normal eater. That is exactly what is happening. And yes, we do that on an individual level, but I want you guys to understand that when we talk about ending eating disorders, we're talking about worldwide. We're talking about living in a world where eating disorders is an old-fashioned thing that used to happen. Things that we have vaccinations for now, you know, polio, people don't get scurvy in first world countries anymore. Like these are things that happened in the past, and eating disorders are going to be the exact same way. And what we have is a really clear plan of exactly how we're going to do that in the next 10 years. And so I'm just going to be super open with you guys about how that's going to happen so you guys can know what you're part of, so you guys can know exactly what we're doing and where we're going with this. So there's something very unique that happens when somebody doesn't have an eating disorder anymore, because their identity and their life has been so wrapped up around it, right? It's like, it's all of your mental energy. You're planning every day for it. You are thinking about it all the time. You wake up every morning, that's your first thought. When you go to bed at night, you're beating yourself up about, you know, falling off the wagon again. And what happens is you get so defined by it for so long that once you don't have an eating disorder anymore, it's so funny because a lot of people have the fear of like, oh no, who will I be without my eating disorder? And everyone gets so wonderfully and pleasantly surprised that they get to be them. That it's not hard to not have an eating disorder. It's not some crisis of identity. It's this incredibly powerful feeling of what else can I do? It's being able to show up and be yourself. It's being able to show up in your own life as yourself and decide who you get to be. And it was incredible to see women from all over the world as we were, you know, there together and up talking and laughing until 2 a.m. and really getting to know each other as people and being able to eat meals all together and being able to just enjoy each other's company and just have normal eating where the food wasn't a big deal, where we were all just able to be together with the shared experience of having gained freedom and for people to really find their tribe. It was an absolutely incredible experience. And in that, we're seeing the ripple effect of what truly happens is that, you know, we have women who are leaders of a lot of other people, very powerful women, get eating disorders. Very capable and successful women get eating disorders. So when they don't have an eating disorder anymore, they're influencing people in a whole new way. So one woman where she has influence of about 500 people right now in her life. And now she's able to just lead those people in a whole different way because she understands her brain and their brains and, you know, this the social aspects of this and how people work so much better. You know, we have women, multiple women who are in the military, and, you know, they're able to, with all of their expertise and everything that they've done in their lives, you know, show up in a whole new, you know, powerful way with the people that they influence. You know, women who care for animals, who care for elderly parents, who have influence over children, who have influence over schools. I mean, we have seen these women step into their lives and show up so powerfully. Because they can, because this is exactly what happens to women when they don't have an internal struggle that never ends. When they get that internal space opened up, then they can step into their lives in the way that they decide. And they make amazing decisions because that's who they were all along. And they get to get back in touch with that. And this is a huge problem in the world, is that we have so many incredible women that would be showing up and changing the world and leading their countries and their families and their workplaces and their congregations. And they can't do that because 80% of their mental energy is taken up by food. And they can't do that because they're waiting to do all these wonderful world-changing plans as soon as they lose the weight. And they can't do that because they're waiting until they are done with their own eating disorders because there's this imposter syndrome. How could I help anybody else until I help myself? And when you're able to remove that eating disorder, incredible, incredible things happen. And until that happens, the world is starved of the power of women. The world is starved of the very minds that the answers that the world needs would come from. And when you get food and food obsession and body obsession out of your brain, you get to do the things that matter to save the world and you get to expand. And that's exactly what these women are asking is, wow, if I can overcome that after 25 years of trying everything and nothing working, and now in a handful of weeks I can be done, what else can I do? And that's the power that we're seeing. And there's this unique opportunity to, with an incredible understanding, build your life the way that you want it once you're done with your eating disorder. And it is a massive problem. So 1 in 4 women report that they have an eating disorder, and that on its own may seem like a lot. But here's what we know. We've helped hundreds and hundreds of people be free. And the percentage of people who reported to someone that they had an eating disorder was very slim. What we hear all the time is, you know what, I've had an eating disorder for, you know, 40 years, and nobody knows, not even my husband that I've been married to that entire time. We've had people that have said, you know what, like, I didn't know I had an eating disorder. I myself was in this camp, you guys. I didn't say eating disorder to anyone for years because I didn't think I had an eating disorder. I was just bad at dieting all of a sudden. I just had no willpower. I was just a food addict. I just kept falling off the wagon for years. And then you find out, wow, I have an eating disorder. A lot of people aren't even labeling this because we live in a society that rewards that, where people can just sit around and talk about their eating disorders, but under the language of like, oh my gosh, I just can't stick to my diet. Oh gosh, I'm so sorry, you guys. I know I've gained the weight back. You know, let's bring up our bodies before somebody else does. Let's apologize for the 50 pounds that we keep gaining and losing. And we don't call it an eating disorder. We just call it us being broken. We just call it something being wrong with us. So if 1 in 4 are reporting that they have an eating disorder, imagine how many people aren't reporting and didn't even realize that they have an eating disorder. This is a massive problem that is easily impacting more than 50% of women in first world countries. And it is a first world problem. It is a problem of abundance. And so when you look at that, it's, even if we're saying conservatively 1 in 3, in first world countries, that's over 1.1 billion women. And then if you just take a third of that, right? Like if you're just breaking it down with, you know, how many people are, you know, conservatively struggling with that. I mean, this is over 500 million women all over the world, and men are struggling with this as well. But it's definitely a problem that is targeted at women, and we'll talk about that. The other problem is that all of our old-fashioned traditional methods to fix an eating disorder, or rather to manage an eating disorder, because the idea is you're broken, this is the way that you're going to be for the rest of your life, let's just try to manage it, actually make it worse. People go to treatment, they go and they talk to their therapist, and their therapist say, oh, it's not about the food, it's about your past trauma. So now somebody has an issue of having to rehash their entire life, their trauma, and maybe my eating will magically get better once I go through all of this. We've had women come to us that said, I've been doing 25 years of therapy, and I just went to try to fix my problem with food. And now I've gained 100 pounds. My eating disorder is worse than ever. But yeah, I worked out all of my trauma. Awesome. And that is awesome. But it never fixed their eating disorder. It actually made it worse because they felt more powerless. They felt like, well, until I go back and I rehash and I work through all of my trauma and all of the hard things that ever happened to me, I can't hope to get better. And they just put themselves on a 25-year delay to even realize that that was never going to work. Then with the same poison that gives us eating disorders, which is restrictive dieting, people are drinking the same poison that made them sick and calling it medicine and going back to a restrictive diet. Then people are going, because it's covered sometimes by insurance, people go and they cut themselves open and they go and they let a doctor put them under anesthesia and they are amputating pieces of their organs saying, my eating is so bad. I'm so broken. I'm so out of control. Let's rearrange my insides permanently. And then they come to realize that that never fixed their mind and it never fixed their habits. And now they have horrible physical problems because they've lost 100 pounds after surgery and then gained it all back so quickly, and they're binging on top of their rearranged insides. We've had women spend $20,000, $40,000 in follow-up surgeries just because they are messing up their bodies after their surgery, because there's no way that they can stay within the limitations that they're supposed to eat with their shrunken down stomach and their shrunken down intestines, because they didn't fix the habit. And the shame that we experience when we do something so extreme like surgery, and then a year later, we're in a worse situation and the highest weight and the worst health that we ever have been in our lives. And then people, they go and they spend $30,000 a month and they, you know, have somebody else take care of their children, and they have to quit their jobs or take a leave of absence and have on their permanent records that they're going to go to some, you know, outpatient or inpatient center where they're just told that they're broken, where they're told that they should expect to come back there every year, where they're told that, oh, it's not just the eating, it's really a flaw with you, it's really your brokenness. Women reaching out and asking for help of how do I end this, and what they get is tips. They get tips on how to be more restrictive. They get tips on how to throw up in a public restroom without people hearing you. They get tips on what to do so that your teeth don't fall out as quickly when you have an eating disorder. And we have women uplifting others into an eating disorder because we live in a world where that is acceptable. And what we need is change. And we know exactly how to do that. And we're doing it right now. And by the year 2030, we are going to end eating disorders. And I want to be really open with you guys of exactly how we're going to do that. This takes social change. Think of what we've been able to change in just a generation. You know, people wearing seatbelts, that didn't used to be a thing. In just a couple of generations, it is the absolute norm to wear a seatbelt when you get in a car. You can't get out of a parking lot and just like have your kid floating around in the back seat without people stopping your car and being like, whoa, whoa, what are you doing? Without your child saying, what are you doing? Put the seatbelt on me. I need to be safe. That was in just a couple of generations where that became the norm. We have so many diseases that and sicknesses that we have vaccines for that we don't worry about anymore. Nobody goes to a shopping center and worries that they're going to catch leprosy anymore. It's just not a thing that we're worried about because we have the things in place for that to be something that's obliterated from the issues that we're dealing with in first world countries. Think of how common smoking used to be. That used to be something that you could do anywhere, anytime, and was totally acceptable, and people just smoked all day long. People still smoke, but everyone knows that stuff kills you. And that is exactly how eating disorders are going to be. There might still be some people who are doing eating disorder behavior, but everyone knows where that comes from. It's just a habit that's easy to break. What we're going to do is we're going to live in a world where there isn't the shame around it, where people aren't calling it a disease, where people aren't wondering what your past trauma was that caused it. When people are able to just speak out, just like somebody's like, hey guys, I know I've been a smoker, but you know, I'm quitting smoking right now. People can just, without shame, be like, hey guys, I'm breaking my habit of an eating disorder. I know I've had an eating disorder for a while, but I know that stuff kills you. So, you know, I'm breaking it right now. I know exactly how, because I know how to end the habit. And we're going to take the shame out of it. And the world we are going to live in is where the number one cause of eating disorders is restrictive dieting. And so restrictive dieting isn't going to be something that is a go-to. It's never worked, you guys. It's never, ever worked. And people are smart and people are intelligent and people have access to the internet where they can be able to find answers even if nobody around them is speaking the truth. People can search and find. And that is exactly why people come to us from all over the planet, because they're looking for an answer, because something inside them lets them know that they're not broken forever, that they don't have some disease of an eating disorder, that they aren't inherently flawed in an unfixable way, that they don't have something terminal they're going to deal with, that there has to be a way to just stop this craziness with food. And that's why they find us. That's why they find Life with Lydia. That's why you guys become part of this community, because when you hear us, it resonates with you of, yeah, there must be a way to be done. And then we have an army of hundreds and hundreds of women who've done that and who are now free of their eating disorders, that have done everything over 40 years. And in 4 weeks, they were able to be completely done with our help, because you just break the habit and you change your brain and you're done. And it's not a struggle anymore when your desires change and when you don't want to go back into those behaviors anymore. So restrictive dieting is the number one cause of eating disorders. And we're going to live in a world where there will probably still be some people that do it. But when a mother sits down at dinner and has a completely different dinner than the rest of her family because she's on a restrictive diet, her kids are saying, come on, mom, you know that stuff kills you. You know dieting gives you eating disorders. Come on, what are you doing? Because the next generation is going to know, is going to know the truth. And that's exactly what we're doing here. So this is how we end eating disorders in the next 10 years. What happens is the reason that people have eating disorders, the number one reason is restrictive dieting. But then we've got to go more upstream. We've got to ask, so why? Why do we all feel a compulsion to diet restrictively? Why, as women, would we rather die than be fat? Why, as women, would we do life-threatening behaviors to lose the last 5 pounds? Why, as women, do we do feel bad about going outside and feel like our bodies are an apology because they're not thin? Why, as women, when we look around and we see the value of ourselves, is it based off of our thinness? Why do we live in a world where if you line up the last 50 popular movies that were out, there are no women that have any sort of variance of size? There is one size and it's very thin. And if there is somebody that looks like somebody who is a larger size, who's a larger woman, she's a joke. She's a terror. She's the thing that the male that is lifted up in that movie is so scared of even getting close to, because what a joke. A large woman, a woman who isn't thin. What value is there in that? It's not okay. And we've lived in that world long enough, and it's time for those things to change. And we have to start asking the questions of, why exactly would we rather be hit by a truck than gain 20 pounds? What is it about our world that makes us feel that way? And those are the questions that we're answering. Those are the ways that we are empowering women. There are two things that are going to get us there to end eating disorders. The first one is we are going to exponentially cut this in half over and over so it disappears very quickly. Restrictive dieting leads to eating disorders. And who exactly puts us on our first restrictive diet? For so many of the women that we coach, it was their mothers. Their mothers put them on their first restrictive diet. Their mothers took them to their first Weight Watchers meeting when they were 8 years old. My daughter is 9. She is a child. And as soon as we see our daughters have any sort of curves, as soon as we see them become women, as soon as we see them as any different than the supermodels that we hold up that have the bodies of an 11-year-old because they actually might be 11-year-olds that you're seeing and sexualizing in the magazines and on ads and in movies, we get terrified because the last thing that we want our daughters to be is fat. Because as a woman, don't you want some worth? So you better be thin. The first thing that causes eating disorders is the examples of our mothers. And when we have a generation of empowered mothers, when we have a generation of mothers who aren't trying to navigate their own eating disorders themselves, we have a generation of mothers who are empowered, who don't just say, oh, honey, you should love your body, but then they're secretly loathing theirs. Who don't say, hey, daughters, you should just eat healthy, eat what you want, but then they're not even eating dinner with their family because they're off trying to eat something else to try to manipulate their body into being thinner. We cut this problem in half because we're not passing it on to our children. That's the first thing. The second thing is that Life with Lydia and our cause, we're going to go more and more upstream. Eating disorders are a side effect of restrictive dieting, and restrictive dieting is a side effect of the oppression of women and showing us that our worth and living in a world where our worth is based on our thinness. And when we go upstream, there is enough leverage to obliterate eating disorders from the planet. And that takes an army of strong women stepping up and showing up and, first of all, ending their own eating disorders, being a witness of freedom. And there is a ripple effect that happens. At our retreat, we talked about there's an amazing woman on our team. And she said, you know what? Like, she has a little sister that's a lot younger than her. And now she knows that her worth isn't based on her size. And she knows that you can be healthy no matter what size you're at. And she knows how important it is to feed and take care of yourself. And when her little sister, who's about 10, came to her and said, hey, I'm getting fat. Will you give me some tips on how to lose weight? She didn't give her tips on how to lose weight. She told her the truth. And that little girl's life, her sister's life, is going to be changed. And because her sister's life is changed, everyone who interacts with her sister and all the women that look up to her as she gets older are changed. We have an amazing woman who was at this retreat, who is a principal of a school, and she has influence over all of these incredible young women and men. And now she can be a symbol of freedom, where she's not sneaking away and her weight isn't yo-yoing up and down, and she isn't feeling all of this shame, and she isn't getting sicker and sicker and more tired because she's trying so hard to deal with this obsession every day about food. Now she can show up. Think of the ripple effect with the 5,500 little people that she is exposed to. There is a ripple effect that is going to happen, that is going to sweep the nation and is going to sweep the world, so that we can end eating disorders. And it will be a thing of the past. Just like we used to say, oh, hysteria is just a woman's womb traveling to her arm. That uniquely female part is probably the cause of all of the problems. Now we look at that and we say, that's ridiculous. That's sexist. And we're going to look at eating disorders in the same way. Wow, that was ridiculous. That was sexist. That was oppressive. I can't believe that women dealt with that for so long. I'm so glad that we live in a world where we have equality and freedom, and that women are valued the way that men are valued, for who they are, and not the size of their bodies, and not the shape of their thighs, not how sexual they can be, but for the person that they are, the way that they change the world, the contribution that they give to the world. And thank you guys so much for being on today. And if you want to be part of that cause, if you want to be a witness of freedom to the world, just internally with who you are, or in more of a public way, the first step is to end this for yourself, is to fix this eating disorder, is to taste what it's like to have your own freedom. And that's exactly what you're doing. And if you want to be a part of that, the first place to start is to book a free session. We have an incredible team that is here specially trained to get you the breakthroughs that you need to start the momentum of freedom in your life. You can go to
LydiaLifestyle.com/session. That's LydiaLifestyle.com/session.
Up for yourself. Be ready and open to the freedom that is available to you. You are not broken. You are in a broken world and a broken system. But that doesn't mean that you are broken. You have a habit with food that is wired in your brain, and you just teach your brain how to not do that anymore. And you can be free for the rest of your life and influence the world how you want to, instead of at the end of your life looking back and saying, wow, I was defined by food. That was how my entire life was defined, by food and weight. That's what people knew me for. I know that you know that there's something more for your life. And if you want that, that's exactly what we're here to do for everyone who's ready for that freedom. Again, this is Lydia, the Lifestyle Coach, signing off. Mwah. Bye, guys.
Thanks for tuning in. If you felt a spark here and want to see how these principles can work in your own life, here is your next step. Pop over to LydiaLifestyle.com/session. That's LydiaLifestyle.com/session, where you can book a free session with our team. We'll give you a call and together find clarity on 3 things. 1, the exact cycle you keep getting sucked into. 2, what isn't working with your approach. And 3, what's missing to close the gap between food prison and food freedom. We have helped free hundreds of women all over the world from their food struggles. These are proven principles that work, no matter how long you've been stuck. This is Lydia, the Lifestyle Coach, signing off. Mwah!